Hey, everyone. It's Caddy. It's the year-end cafes, one of my favorite things of the year. And we have Roger coming, stepping into the cafe, my friend.
Hello.
Would you like an iced tea or a coffee at the cafe today?
Well, I'm not really keen on iced tea. Being an Englishman, I like hot tea with milk and sugar,
God.
If you have one.
Okay, I have...
But if you don't have that, I'll have a cappuccino, good old milky coffee.
That's right.
As we call it.
Yes, I forget that you like cappuccino.
Oh, yeah, I love it. I know you do,
and I forget that about you.
Yeah.
Silly goose. So thank you for coming into the cafe. I know it's a busy, busy time of year, as we were discussing. But
yeah.
It was a good year. So I wanted to kick off with asking you what you think the event of the year is, either, you know, world event or personal event or whatever.
Well, I don't think it was a big year on global event. I was really kind of scratching my head to really think of an important world event, and I couldn't really get anything. But my personal big event of the year was Aston Villa. I'm going to duck now because all the other football fans of other teams are going to be throwing tomatoes at me. But it was Aston Villa getting back into the Premiership. And I went to the playoff final at Wembley Stadium. And took some of the kids, and we had the most amazing day. Because we'd been the year before.
Yeah.
And we'd lost the playoff final, which was pretty depressing. And, you know, because these things are a bit of a lottery. You never know what's going to happen on the day. So we went again this year with no real expectation of getting through. And we won it. And we got back into the Premiership. So I think that was my personal events of the year, after quite a few years of languishing in the division below, we finally got back up.
So for the Americans, the uneducated Americans, I should say, that are listening, are there only a certain number of teams that are allowed in the Premiership?
There is, yeah, exactly. I can't think of the number off my head, top of my head right now.
Yeah.
There's only a certain amount of teams in there. And if you don't collect enough points in the season, you drop down into the next one. The bottom three that go down, and then you've got to finish in the bottom two to go back up. Or I think if you finish second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, you have to go into the playoffs. And that is a little bit of a lottery.
And so now that they're in the Premiership, they're sort of viewed a little differently, like sort of a more of a top team than they were.
Well, it's kind of like the elite, I think, of English football. And if you can get into that league, and if you can stay in there, I mean, it's quite an achievement. There's some of the best players in the world playing in that league. So it's quite an achievement to get back up there again.
Up the Villa. Very good.
That's our slogan.
Yes, I know. I've known you long enough to know that is your slogan. Well, that is a great event of the year. I live with someone that is a big fan of a certain sports team, so I know that your whole day could be made or kind of ruined by a bad performance.
Exactly. I understand. I do think why we get so excited about whether a ball goes into a net or not.
Yeah.
Why do we get so obsessed with that? Why do hundreds of thousands of people go every week to watch that? So it is a question I do ask myself sometimes.
Well, do you have an answer?
I don't have an answer. I guess it's tribalistic, isn't it? I think it probably goes back to our tribal days of hunting and tribes competing with each other for prey, I'm guessing. And I think it almost links us back to that.
Yeah, and I think it's sort of a group mentality, you know, of just banding together and rooting for something. And
That's
kind of
very
cool.
Strange that the closer the teams are as neighbors, the more animosity that there is. If, you know, if we're playing somebody that's 200 miles away, oh, it's fine. We want to win, but we're not really that, you know, so concerned. But if it's our neighbors, you know, we get really competitive, and I think that's also interesting.
Yeah.
And kind of tribalistic, isn't it?
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I'm going to have to start thinking about this now, too.
There must be a book on it somewhere, actually.
Yeah, you just gave me something new. I like that. So did you see any terrific movies this year, Raj? And if so, what was your fave?
Yeah, it wasn't a big year of movies for me, I have to say. I think, if anything, I'll probably choose Apollo 11. I think purely because we did the show to celebrate the anniversary of the moon landing.
Yeah.
And that kind of reinvigorated my interest in the whole thing, because it gone out the window a little bit for me at the space program. I know it's something that Nick's really keen on. He's, you know, he's really interested in it, but I'd kind of it left the building a little bit for me. But playing at that when we played that show, it kind of really, you know, reinvigorated my interest. So I really enjoyed that movie, and you know, we grew up with that stuff. I mean, it was a big part of our growing up, and you know, that the moon landing would come on TV and. Life would stop, you know, my dad would come home from work and we'd glued to the television. So it was great to see that recreated.
Here's a little known fact. I went to the premiere of that movie with Simon and Nick. Isn't that weird?
True.
I did.
Wow.
And I sat...
In New York?
No, it was in Los Angeles. It was in, I think, 95 or 96. And I drank a little too much. Which is, you know, is not something I almost ever do. And I sat down next to Tom Hanks at a table at the after party. I know, and had a whole conversation with him. You know, I would never have done that otherwise. And he was so nice.
Yeah, he's a lovely man.
He's lovely. You probably thought, who is this drunk little girl running around with Duran Duran? But there I was. Anyway,
we met him when we did Graham Norton. TV show, and he was one of the other guests on there. And he was so nice.
So nice.
And he's a fellow Aston Villa supporter, of course.
He is.
Going back to the Villa.
If Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, that new movie of his, comes to the UK, you and Giselle should see it. It was very, very. It was a very sweet movie. He plays Mr. Rogers. Which is probably not as well known in England as a kids show host in America.
Such a great guy. Actually, I heard him on the radio, and they said, "Hey, Tom, why do you support Aston Villa of all football teams?"
Yeah.
He said, "Well, you know, I want to support an English football team, and I saw this name, Aston Villa. I thought Aston sounded like a really cool." Aston Martin, it reminded me of the car, Aston Martin, and Villa. Sounds like a really cool house in Europe. So I chose that beep because of the name.
I wonder if you regret that decision.
Yeah, he probably does. He probably does. That's why you should never choose a team based on the name.
I like that reasoning. It makes me like him even more.
Yeah.
Did you binge watch any television this year? Did you have time?
I did.
Very good.
I love Netflix now, as we all do.
Me too.
And somebody said that I should watch When They See Us Now.
Okay.
And I was in Iceland. We were doing a show in Iceland. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to watch the first episode. I'm just going to have a quick look at it before I turn in for the night. And I put the first episode on, and I just could not stop watching it. I mean, I don't know how many episodes there were in it, but I just couldn't stop watching it. I mean, it was just incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And I love true life stories as well. I love things that are, you know, dramas, but they're, you know, they're true life things. So that really captivated me. And I thought that was the number one for me, I have to say. And then everybody I see, I was like, oh, you've got to watch it. You've got to watch it.
I know. I really, really want to watch it. Do you remember when it happened or not really?
I don't. I have no recollection of that happening at all. But it's a really incredible. You should definitely, if you get a chance to see it, you're going to absolutely love it. It's so sad and it's...
so sad. And I can't...
So well done.
I promise not to get political on your cafe, and I'm not going to name any names, but a person who happens to be president of this one United States took out an ad in 1989 in a newspaper.
Oh, I saw that, yes.
Yes.
Documentary afterwards.
Yeah, calling for their execution.
Oh, I mean, that's...
I know.
Yeah,
for
a
crime they did not... That he had no idea whether they committed or not. He just wanted to be part of the zeitgeist, and he was.
Yeah. And if they were in the neighborhood causing trouble, then they'd be dirty. You know,
right.
I think that was the attitude there. But, that was a serious one. We highly recommend it.
Well, I'm going to, now you've re-motivated me. I'll have to talk to my partner in crime. Yes, I definitely want to watch it. What's the best thing you've listened to this year? Music or a concert or an orchestra, anything?
Well, I'm going to go for my old friend Mark Ronson, I think.
Oh, very good.
The record of the year. I mean, Mark just seems to... He just keeps doing it, doesn't he? And he seems to just be able to reinvigorate a career out of nowhere. He's just, I just think he's so talented. So that has to be the record that was released this year. It would definitely be Late Night Feelings.
Yeah.
And I was one of the people that actually loved, that really liked the Elton John movie. I spoke to a lot of people who didn't like it.
Yeah,
but I liked it, and I learned a lot of stuff about Elton that I never knew about or dreamt of. So it was really interesting for me to watch about his background, his father, and all that stuff. So it kind of really got me listening to his records again. And so Goodbye Yellow Brick Road has been high on my playlist this year. And I didn't really get Elton, to be honest. When I was growing up, I was more to bands and, you know, musicians and virtuoso musicians. And I kind of missed Elton a little bit. So watching that movie really kind of made me appreciate his music again.
Huh.
So, yeah, I'm a big Elton fan now.
Yeah, he's
a bit late
great.
To the table, but I'm a big fan.
I want to see that, too. I didn't see it. I heard very good things about it. I heard it's not like what you expect, that he sort of breaks out into song in the middle of the movie. And
that's right, A lot of people didn't like that. Yeah. It's not
like
Bohemian Rhapsody. It's not just a fact-based movie. There's a lot of fantasy, and there's a lot of... It's a little bit like a musical in parts of the film.
I
quite enjoyed it.
No, Raj. Now, what's the best? I know what this might be a repeat answer, but what's the best thing you saw this year? And that could either be art or a sport or a museum or a fashion show. But I'm going to guess that the best thing you saw was Aston Villa getting back to the premiership.
I think it was. I think that was it.
I can't ask you to choose something else because that is major. So let's move on then. What was your favorite Duran Duran moment of this year? And that would be a little harder, I think, for you to...
Well, yeah, I think we kind of cut this as well. I think playing in Cape Canaveral was the band event of the year, I think, for me. I thought that was really an incredible moment. And it kind of made me realize what an important moment it was in the history of the world, and it's such a part of the fabric of American society, I think, and culture, this, the first moon landing, and to play at the anniversary amongst all the rockets and, you know, we met the, some of the astronauts. That was quite an incredible moment, I think. And we had the string players, and it was quite something. Very little rehearsal, I have to say. We turned up the night before. We had about 2 hours rehearsal with a full string section, and but you know, we pulled it together. You were there.
We did. I was there,
and it was a great night.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. It was one of the greatest things. I personally, I don't go to a lot of things, but this was, not only was it a great performance, and I love how you sort of did two sets, like sort of like a moon or a space, two songs, and then some greatest hits, but the whole string section, and then the, what were those things in the sky called again?
The drones.
Drones. The whole thing.
I couldn't actually see them from the drum kit, but I'm told that it looks amazing. And I saw some film of it afterwards, and I mean, that looked pretty incredible, I think, didn't it?
It did. It looked incredible.
Yeah.
It was pretty great.
So that was good, and I think the other moments of really being back in the studio has been pretty good. You know, we've been working with Errol Elkin.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked with Giorgio Moroder.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been really good getting back into the studio again, and had some real highs with that.
I feel like I ask you this question every 3 or 4 years. If you were a betting man, when would you say we're going to hear some music?
We're going to be finished. We're hoping to be finished probably around March.
Okay.
By the spring, hopefully we're going to have something out there. I mean, we'd love, because you know we've announced the Isle of Wight.
Yes.
And there's going to be hopefully some other shows around that. We'd love to have had the record out before that.
Okay. All right.
Do you believe me?
No. Can I hold you to that?
We've had this conversation before, haven't we?
Many years. I think since 2003 we've been having it.
But we have a real incentive now, I think, to get this record finished, and we're a long way along with it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Does it sound different to you than other Duran records? Will it be a big surprise? Like maybe...
It is. Like, well, it's quite different from the last record.
Okay.
I'd say it's much more organic sounding.
Okay.
Errol Elkin is much more into organic sounds, I think. He's into real drum sounds and, you know, really good bass sounds. And, you know, it's going to be much more organic in that respect.
Yeah. And last year, you were in the studio with Mark also. So will he be represented on the album a little bit, or you're not sure yet?
Yeah, we're working with Mark. Yeah, we're still working on a couple of songs that we still have to complete. But there should be a Mark Ronson presence on the record, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So what are you most looking forward to in 2020?
Releasing the album.
That was an easy question.
I mean, the shows, of course, we're really excited about the Isle of Wight. I mean, it's a legendary festival. People who have played there are just, I mean, it's incredible who's played at that festival, going right back to Jimi Hendrix. I think the Blizzard played there in that slot recently, Depeche Mode, Fleetwood Mac. So we're in great company, I think. And, you know, it's going to be fun to build some stuff around that as well and get the ball rolling again. People are constantly telling me that we need to play in the UK because it's been a long time, really, since we've done proper public shows here. So we're playing back over here again.
Yes, I hear it probably more than you do.
Yeah. And then we'll kind of kick on from there, hopefully.
That would be great. Are you ready to go back out on the road again?
Yeah, I think we are, actually. Yeah, we are. And I think when the record's finished, then we're going to be, we'll be excited about the new record, and I'm sure we want to take it out to the world again.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, it seems like it's going so fast.
I know.
I don't know why. I don't know that your fans feel that way, but I feel that way. Just seems like,
because
even
it's
though
it's been a while, but it's been a while that it's been since Paper Girls.
2015, but I just feel, and that's. That's the year Hayden was born, and Hayden's going to be five. So if I look at it like that, like there was an infant and now there's a person, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's like a long period of time. But
it's incredibly
fast. Like
I mean, a lot of bands, you know, they could have a whole career within that time, couldn't they?
Yeah.
And with us, it's just the time between two records. It's incredible, really.
Yeah.
Amazing that we're still here and still doing it. You know, people would say to me, how do you, I was with some people last night, how do you make a, how does the career of a band go on for this, that long? How do you make it happen? And I couldn't really answer that question because there's not many people who have done it. I don't think there's more than a handful of bands that have probably stuck together and produced so many records. And I don't quite know what the secret is, actually. I didn't really know the answer to that.
Mm.
Other than you have to get on, of course. That's the first thing. That you have to have mutual respect and get on with each other. And you just kind of hang the rest on that.
Well, Rod, as always,
okay.
This was a fabulous, fabulous time in the cafe. I don't know when we'll have you in again, but I'm sure I'm glad to get to speak to you. And I wish you and your family a very happy holiday, a Merry Christmas, and
a happy
New Year. And I know I will be speaking and texting with you soon.
Yeah.
But anyway,
Thank
you for being in the cafe and
thank
all
you.
That good stuff.
Thank you. And then we'll definitely be new music in 2020. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Okay, we'll leave it on that.
Don't laugh.
Okay. We'll leave it on that.
It's true. Yeah, okay.
We'll leave it on that very optimistic.
Okay.
Now. All right, we'll speak with you soon, Raj.
Yeah, have a great one.
Take care.
Okay.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.